filled with houses crowded together, and when villagers climbed up the mountain, their hearty laughs and stomping boots shattered the quiet. At the sound of their footsteps, Pinmay would scurry away to be out of sight, her long braid trailing her like the tail of a disappearing mouse. The villagers used to climb up to the mountain hut regularly, requesting that Amma embroider peonies or five-colored clouds onto silks for weddings and birthdays. Even in the winter, when the rough stone hut was all but buried, the villagers still came. However, while they came for Amma's embroidery skills, they stayed for the old woman's stories. Even Pinmay, watching from behind a door, was unable to resist her grandmother's words.
"And when the immortal dragon picked up the beautiful white stone, it began to shine in his hands," Amma would say, telling the story of the dragon's pearl. Or, "And because only a mountain can hold up the moon, no one could lift the ball."
When telling the story of the boy who rolled the moon, Aunt Pinmay would find herself standing among the villagers as if pulled by a thread. But now, few villagers came up the mountain, and it was not just the winter keeping them away. The ones who did come told stories of their own.
"A new emperor wears the gold silk robe," they whispered, as if afraid even up on the mountain they would be overheard. "All celebrated when the old emperor was overthrown. But now we tremble, for the new emperor is brutal and fierce. They call him the Tiger Emperor."
"But a new emperor is supposed to pay tribute to the mountain," Amma said. "He must get the blessing of the mountain spirit at the top. We have not seen anyone."
"Do we ever see any rulers?"
Ishan said in a scoffing tone only a young boy such as himself could have. Even though he had his own hut farther up the mountain, Ishan claimed the seat by the fireplace in Pinmay's hut as his own.
"They all say they go to the top, but do they?"
"He came," one villager said, "and he started up the mountain. But the wind or the winter, or who knows, maybe even the mountain spirit, forced him down, to our great misfortune. He was humiliated, and now all the mountain villages are being punished."
"But reaching the top of the mountain has nothing to do with the villages," Amma said. "It is the spirit of the mountain who decides if the ruler is worthy."
"That does not matter to the Tiger Emperor," the villager said, the bitterness cracking the hushed tone of his voice.
"His soldiers come to the villages late at night, taking away all the men. We do not know when they will come to ours, but we know they will."
"All the men?"
Amma gasped.
"What for?"
"For the vast wall," another villager said.
"The men are being forced to build a wall that surrounds the entire kingdom."
The entire kingdom was hundreds of cities and thousands of villages. Amma often told stories about a city with a wall around it, and Pinmay could scarcely imagine that.
"You can't build a wall that long. It's impossible,"
Ishan said. The firelight made his hat glow as if he were aflame. The villager shrugged.
"This emperor has a habit of making the impossible happen."
"But even if it could be finished, it would be poor protection," Amma said. "How could a wall spanning the kingdom be defended? There would never be enough soldiers to guard something so vast. What does this Tiger Emperor want?"
"He wants a luminous stone," said a third villager, speaking for the first time. "When anyone, a wife, a child, a mother, begs for a man's freedom, the soldiers always say the same. Bring the emperor a luminous stone that lights the night, and you can have your wish."
"A luminous stone that lights the night,"
Amma repeated slowly. She hesitated, and Pinmay thought she saw a flash over Amma's face.